feel like speaking on a subject tonight that I often speak on. Maybe you have heard me speak on it before yourself, but it's a constant need, so I feel like we can repeatedly speak on it. We eat the same foods that we like over and over, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
The things that are good for us, we eat them over and over. And we especially need this if we feel like that God's Word gets old to us. I feel like that the Word of the Lord should always be just as fresh.
Yeah.
To our souls, and no matter how many times we have heard it, it should always be fresh and inspiring and encouraging to our hearts. We need all the Word of God along the way in life, or God wouldn't have given it to us. I believe we will look at the text first here in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. It said, "For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now that's the thought that we have on our hearts tonight. It is the real need and the real privilege of being renewed day by day. We need it, folks. And we have to have it. And God has made provision for you and I. You know, I just love to think of the provisions that God has made.
Yeah.
Just got word from my husband that his brother just passed away Tuesday night of this week. And I went down, he lived in Florida, and I went down the 1st of September when my husband went down there and went with him to visit this boy. And he was dying of cancer, and he was telling about the provisions that he had made for his wife. He realized that his time was short, and he was telling about what kind of provisions he'd made for his wife. After he'd gone, that she'd be cared for. He'd already made provisions. Their car was wore out. He'd made provision for her to have a new car and all those things. Well, those things are all right. Just flashed across my mind of, you know, those that we love and those that love us, they make provision for our welfare, for our happiness. God intended for husbands to be the breadwinner of the family, to make provisions in a natural way for their wives. Well, we're the bride of Christ, and I love to think of how tenderly he has cared for us and made provision for us. And God knew all of our needs before we know them ourselves, and he's made provisions. And now he said here, "Though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day." I wonder how good a job you and I are doing of keeping our inward man renewed. Just how good a job are we doing? Keeping our inward man renewed day by day. Now with that thought in mind, I would like to read here in the 14th chapter of Hosea, lesson beginning with the first verse. It said, "O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity." Now, God is addressing this message here to a people that had drifted away from God, had fallen by their iniquity. God never intended that people backslide and fall away, but they do it sometimes. And God knew they were going to do it, so he made provisions for that too.
Yes,
not provision for the backslide, provision to take care of them when they did to get back. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did, because I have had to be restored a few times along the way.
Yeah.
Favorite psalm so many, the 23rd psalm, there's one clause in that that impresses me so often. David said, "He restoreth my soul." You know, one day the Lord just flashed into my soul the depth of that. And it was just so precious. David said, "He restoreth my soul." There was a time in David's life that he had to be restored. And there was a time in David's life when he failed God, and when he got into trouble, and driven away from the Lord. But God in his mercy restored him. And I just now was the one in the house, and I was watched sometime or other along the way, it had to be restored.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it had to be restored. And I'm glad. Now, what the Lord said here, oh, Israel, oh, just listen to the words of the Lord. Just look if you can into the mercy of God. Look into the deep love of God. The people that had drifted away from the Lord. And God knew it and recognized and said so. But he said, oh, Israel, return. Return unto the Lord thy God. Oh, if there's one here in the house tonight that's drifted away from the Lord, I've gotten careless in your experience, the Lord's calling to you tonight. He's reaching out a hand. I can just hear him calling your name. Even if he did hear, oh, Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thy iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. You know, Lord just tells us how good, don't you? And just return unto the Lord with words and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. And I have such a deep feeling for the souls that have been encouraged.
Yes.
And giving out more encouragement.
Amen.
Giving out that which will refresh and comfort and bless. Instead of words that might damper and words that might chill the spirit of those around us. Now these texts make us know there are many others. Maybe I will notice one more here. In the little book of Philemon, Paul says, speaking to this brother, he said that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. The bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Now, this is sufficient in number of texts to make us to see and to know that it's possible for you and I to be a refreshment, to be an encouragement, to be a comfort to one another. And if we all do that, you know, there just wouldn't be any discouraged folks among us.
That's right.
There wouldn't be any discouraged folks among us. If there were one, our real joy and comfort. Just always have something to give out, folks. Just God will just supply you and I with something to give out. If it's nothing but a smile, you know, you just don't realize how much you can do sometimes. By just being so blessed in your soul that you can carry a smile. I like to see folks that are refreshed enough that their countenance shows it. They can just be a real comfort. I remember one time I was over in the Osho, the camp meeting there, the last night of the camp meeting, it had just rained and storms and tents were down and beds were wet and clothes were wet, and breaking camp next morning it was really a mess. And folks just having a time trying to pack and get ready to go home with wet muddy clothes, and the ground was all wet and muddy, I was walking across the campground and I met an old dried up brother on the ground, and he said, "Well, Sister Opal," he said, "you're just as ugly as I am, but said, you haven't lost that smile." Well, you know, that kind of done me good. And he said, "You're just as ugly as I am, but he said, you haven't lost that smile." Well, you know, that smile, when everything around is not very good, it just does something to people. I wasn't even conscious about smiling, but he was. We just want to be that way. We don't all have the circumstances and conditions to rub the smile off our face, do we? wet and mud and everything else, don't you? And, well, they just keep refreshed and keep revived and keep reinvigorated and with the blessings and the presence of the Lord. And, it'll prove to be a real blessing to folks as you go along the way. Now here in 2 Timothy, we notice the thought again. Paul, I believe it's this writing, was a prisoner for Christ's sake, down there in prison, bound between two soldiers, and lived that way for 2 or 3 years. But he just kept all encouraged and so on for the Lord. But he said here, writing to Timothy, he's speaking here concerning different ones of the saints. And in the 16th verse, he said, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains." He oft refreshed me. He said here, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Here he said, "The Lord give mercy unto this man, for he oft refreshed me." You don't know when people might be needing some refreshing. You don't know when their hearts might be heavy. You don't know what burdens they might be bearing. You don't know what heartaches and sorrows might be theirs. You know what it might mean, Judah, to be able to refresh them and prove to be a blessing to them. I don't remember now just whereabouts it is here in Acts where Paul tells about, maybe I can find it in a little bit. It was when he was as a prisoner going to Rome. And you know, they had been shipwrecked down there and been out there on the sea in the storm. And then they had been shipwrecked. On this little island, and where it was a very good place to winter, and been there all the winter. Then when sailing was possible again, they took up their journey go to Rome, went as far as they could by ship, and when they got off, they went across there, don't just get my eyes on that, but anyway, it said, they went across there, and he said, he saw some brethren and took courage. He saw the...
That's the 15th verse of the
28th. I was looking at the 28th, but I just didn't see it yet. And he said, yes. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us. That's it. They came to meet us as far as Apaphorum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. He thanked God and took courage. You know, I say again, this was Apostle Paul. And we think a lot of times as those who labor for the Lord and minister the word and so on and so forth, that they would never need encouragement, but maybe they do sometimes. Yes, maybe they do sometimes. And he said, and the brethren came to meet us, who when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Thank God and took courage. You know, I want to see us all getting out more. Those clouds, those things that cloud our experience with God, will shut out the dreams of heaven. Those things that bring the spiritual clouds will keep out the dews of heaven. If you and I will keep our souls bare before God, keep the way clear between us and heaven, as sure as we'll do that, just that sure, God will send the dews of heaven down into our souls and refresh us and revive us and keep us going for God. And we have to keep calm and still. The dew don't fall when it's stormy and blustery and windy. Folks, if you and I keep our souls all blustery and stormy
want to see the news of heaven. But if we'll keep our souls calm, if we'll get quiet before the Lord, shut out the turmoil and the storms of life and the hustle and the bustle. Just as sure as your eyes are still before the Lord and wait upon Him, just that sure God will send the dews of heaven down into our souls. That'll keep us refreshed and revived and invigorated. The dews of heaven. Too many people never get still enough.
No.
Never get still enough for God to send the dews in their soul. I tell folks often, God's not going to run you down to bless you. No, God's not going to run you down to bless you. But I'll guarantee you tonight, upon the authority of God's word, if you'll get calm and still before the Lord, you do the God's word. You don't mean just turn folks a moment. If that was to just keep you refreshed and renewed and blessing the Lord and so that we could just be a real refreshing and a comfort and an encouragement to those around us, and the devil wouldn't have too many chances. But you know, a lot of people that have become discouraged, and some even have given up, much of it has been because there hasn't been enough to refresh their souls and to keep them encouraged.
That's right.
And now, there's a way for you and I to keep the fresh.
Amen.
There's a way for us to keep in this good condition where we can be. And I believe we'll go back now to Hosea and notice just a few thoughts there in the lesson that we read. Where God said here, "Return to me, O Israel, and said, I will heal their backslidings, and I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from them." Then he said, "I will be as the dew of the Israel."
Yes.
I will be as the dew of the Israel. Then he goes ahead and speaks about they would grow like the lily and cast forth their roots like Lebanon, and their branches would spread, and their beauty would be as the olive tree, and so on and so forth. And why? Because of the dews of heaven.
Yeah.
Now I will be as the dew unto Israel. Now you know, there's a lot in God's word. It's too late for tonight to touch on that subject very much. But there's much in God's word about the dews of heaven. Now folks, if you and I want to keep refreshed, let's live under the dews of heaven.
Amen.
Now if we'll live under the dews of heaven, we'll keep refreshed.
Yes.
What is dew? What is dew? The natural dew. God uses these terms that you and I are familiar with. Jesus often spoke parables of things of the natural life because we would understand that.
Yeah.
Now, Webster says that dew is nature's provision for reviving and refreshing the earth, and without it, vegetation would die. Dew is nature's provision, get this, it's nature's provision for refreshing and reviving the earth. Without it, vegetation would die. Now that's natural dew. What's spiritual dew? Spiritual dew is God's provision. Get it? It's God's provision for refreshing and reviving His people, and without it, they'll die. Without it, they'll die. Now back to our thought of God's provision. God has made provision, folks, that you and I can keep refreshed and revived. How is it? By the dews of heaven. By the dews of heaven. I say there's a lot in God's word about dew. He speaks about His word as distilling as the dew. And He speaks about the blessings of God and mentions the dew of heaven. And so on. Dew is God's provision. The dews of heaven. It's that gentle refreshing that comes from God into our souls. But do comes on provisions. Did you know? You know there are certain conditions for do?
Yeah,
for do to fall?
Yeah.
There's just certain conditions for do to fall. Naturally and spiritually too. When does the natural do fall?
Good morning.
Yes, in the evening, the morning, and I. But it has to be clear. There's no dew in this cloudy.
No, that's right.
I don't know if you all folks learned this or not, but I did. I learned it in cotton patch. That's where I learned this stuff here. Brother David knows what I'm talking about. When I was a girl growing up in Oklahoma in the cotton patch, I learned all about dew. I remember as a small child how often my father would say, well, now if there's not any dew tonight, we'll get out in the field early in the morning. But, and he'd say, if it stays cloudy now, there won't be any dew. The dew does not fall when it's cloudy. And the dew does not fall when the wind is blowing. No. Everything has to be calm and still.
Yeah, peaceful.
For the dew to fall. It has to be clear. Dew won't fall when it's cloudy. And that's true spiritually, folks. If you and I don't keep the spiritual cloud swept away, the dews of heaven cannot reach our souls. It does you good, don't it, Tim?
Yeah.
Oh, I just love to see people keep fresh and up to date with God. You can tell it on their countenance.
Yes.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
You can tell it on their countenance. You don't have to be around them long. You can just about tell who's been keeping refreshed and renewed and revived and in good shape with the Lord. Sometimes we see folks and people say, well, I wonder if so-and-so's saved yet. Now, that just always kind of burdens me. When people have to ask, so-and-so's still saved.
Yes, yes.
Now, that just burdens me. I just like to see people so revived and so fresh in their souls and so renewed in their inner man until nobody has to ask how they're getting along. Well, there's some people you never ever have to ask how they're getting along. You just know how they're getting along. You just come in contact with them. And you can feel that real freshness of soul and spirit. And that real teeming with life. I just love life. I just love to see people bubbling over with life. I enjoy all my grandbabies around the home so much because they're just so full of life. They're just so full of life and energy. I just enjoy that. I just love to see people full of life. Physically and spiritually.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Especially spiritually. All right, we don't have to get old. We don't have to get old in our inner man. God expects us to keep young and fresh. Not physically. He said the outer man would perish day by day. That's natural, we expect that. But he said the inner man would renew day by day. Day by day. Keeping it renewed. And refreshed. Another thought or two along this line of reviving. I said I was speaking on this tonight because this is something that lays on my heart all the time. Just all the time, because everywhere I go, I see the need of a mighty reviving among God's people. Now I see it everywhere I go. And you do too, don't you?
Yes. Yes,
sir. Don't you feel like that there's a great need of a real reviving among God's people today? And a renewing and a refreshing of their inner man. The psalmist David said here, wilt thou not revive us again? Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Now our rejoicings, we're not going to have any rejoicings if we don't have some revival.
Yes,
wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee?
Yes, yes.
Why isn't there more rejoicing in the Lord?
There's not enough reviving. There's not enough keeping renewed. There's not enough keeping refreshed. Reviving. The psalmist said here, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" I tell you, when you get a real refreshing from the Lord, when you get a real reviving in your soul from the Lord, there's going to be some rejoicing.
Amen.
There's going to be some rejoicing. And if we don't ever see any rejoicing in people's lives, I'm afraid there's not much life there. I'm afraid there's not much reviving there. "Wilt thou not revive us again, O Lord, that thy people may rejoice in thee?"
Amen.
When I located this text here, it just answered a question for me. I've been asking, why isn't there more rejoicing among the saints? I've been asking that. Sincerely asking me. Because like I said, I can remember as a girl when I met the saints, there was much rejoicing among them.
Yes.
Much joyfulness.
Yes.
Praising the Lord. Rejoicing. Meeting at home, along the road, or wherever you'd meet them. There was much rejoicing. And I was just asking over and over the question, why isn't there more rejoicing among God's people? This answers the question for me. Wilt thou not revive us, that thy people may rejoice and be again? Not enough reviving. Not enough reviving of God's people. Saints is for us.
Yeah.
God said, there where I read while ago, let's look at that text again. He said here, what he said, revive thy work. How much are you praying for God to revive his work? Do you have a vision that God will do it? Do you have a vision that God can do it, that God will do it?
Yes.
If you don't have, you don't need to pray. In fact, you can't pray. You can't pray. You don't have a vision and a burden. You might say words, but you can't really pray until you get a vision and until you get a burden and a desire. Oh, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Revive. Refresh. Renew. Reinvigorate our souls and the words of the dear Lord. How much burden do we have for God's work today? Oh, may the Lord roll heavier on our hearts than ever before. A real burden. For the work and for the cause of God, that we might see great reviving and refreshing and renewing of God's people. Now let's notice here a few thoughts along this line of being refreshed. God wants our souls refreshed constantly and continuously. And what a blessing it proves to the work of the Lord. Let's notice here in the 15th chapter of Romans, a thought here. He said, 15th chapter in the 32nd verse, Paul writing to the Roman brethren, he said, that I ask him to pray for you, and that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now Paul, had in his heart that when he got out there, he would refresh them, and they would refresh him. And he said, that I may with you be refreshed. You know that's God's plan. God's plan is that every time you and I come together, every time we meet each other along the way, that there be a real mutual refreshing from us. And it'll be there if you've had a refreshing from God.
Yeah.
If God's been refreshing your souls, you'll just be a refreshing encouragement to others along the way. Some of you folks know Brother Trimble, you know how often we speak of him. But just do like we can. There's a man that keeps refreshed.
Yeah.
Anytime you see him, anywhere, any place, it doesn't make any difference of where, when, or what, what the circumstances is. He's just always so bubbling over and so refreshed. say, just blessed your soul. That's the way the Lord wants us. And here in the first chapter, I mean the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and the 18th verse, Paul said here, maybe I better begin reading a few verses above to get the thought. He said, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Sabanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That seems a little peculiar way to use this word addicted, but yet it's a good too. You know what addict means. It means just to be completely given over to it. We say the folks are addicted to alcohol, and they're addicted to tobacco, and so on. Well, God's the Lord, here's some folks that were addicted to ministry to the saints, and just giving their whole and their lives and to the ministry of the saints. No wonder they were able to refresh folks along the way. And then he goes ahead and he said, I am glad of the coming of this same brother, Sabanus. I am glad for the coming of Sabanus and Fortanus and Acacius, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. They have refreshed my spirit and yours. Folks, let's just live, and wherever we go, we can just refresh the spirit of God's people, just be a real refreshing to them. Now here's the Apostle Paul. We are known as such a great man, and he was a great man. But he said the coming of Silvanus and these other brethren, it just refreshed my spirit. He said, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. And let's drop over here just a few chapters over in the 7th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And the 13th verse, he said here, therefore we were comforted. We were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. Now here was Paul down here, and he said, when Titus came along, he said, we were comforted in your comfort. Now he didn't see these folks down here in Corinth, but Titus had been down there to see him, and Titus had come to him, and he just went right on through the line here. He said, I was comforted in your comfort, because Titus was refreshed by you, and in turn, he said, refreshed me and comforted me. Folks, we ought to be more comfort to each other.
Amen.
You know, sometimes the old enemy just gets us around and we hardly know it. And instead of being a refreshing and a comfort, sometimes they're a discouragement.
Yeah.
And a damper. And so on and so forth. Are you just refreshing everybody that comes in contact with you? And comforting their hearts and so on. He said here, I was just refreshed here and comforted because Titus had been refreshed by you folks. May the Lord help us tonight to keep revived and keep refreshed so that any time somebody drops across our path, will just be a real comfort to them, a real refreshing to them, a real uplifting to them. For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Now, so often people, that's their conception of God, and that's a good conception of it, if it doesn't stop at that. And he said here, I believe this is the only place that the word eternity is mentioned in God's name. For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, that great one, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place. Is that the only place God dwells? Is that the only conception you have of God? Being so great and so mighty and so holy that he dwells way out yonder in that high and holy shall come rise down and dwell over with him also that is of a number in the contract spirit, to revive him, and to refresh him, and so on and so forth. So, wilt thou not revive us again? As you and I realize the need of being revived, and realize the privilege of it, and will really go before the Lord in contrition and humility of heart, the Lord will do it. Will this reviving of our hearts? He sure will, but if we're satisfied. Folks, if we're satisfied and contented to go on year in and year out, and oh, how many people are today? How many people have just settled down to go on year in and year out just as they are?
Lord, yes.
Yes. Too many people have just found complacency and just going on like they are. But I'm not satisfied.
No.
I'm not satisfied. I'm seeking the Lord constantly.
Amen.
Lord, reviving and refreshing and renewing my inner man. I tell you, folks, I find I need it. I find I have to have it. Maybe you can get along without it, but
I can't.
I just cannot get along without it. I find that I'm soon just drifting along in a rut. Just drifting along in the rut, without any life or without any spirit. So I'm seeking the Lord daily. I'm seeking the Lord daily to revive and refresh and renew my inner man. We have here the prophet Habakkuk, or however you pronounce it, some one way and some another. But he prayed here. First verse of the third chapter says a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. A prayer. What is your prayer? What is your prayer? This man had a prayer here. But let's go back and notice the first part of this little book here. The first chapter starts out like this. The burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. The burden which he did see. Are you burdened? Are you really burdened for yourself now? Now I'm talking about ourselves tonight. Are you really burdened for yourself? The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Have you been crying and the Lord not hear? Have you been crying and the Lord hasn't been answering?
I've been trying to
go and have some answers. Yes, thank the Lord. Been having some reviving too, didn't you?
Sure.
How long, he said, shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? When we cry to the Lord and he doesn't hear, it's time for us to get a burden. It's time for us to begin to seek the reasons why. He doesn't hear. And then the prophet goes ahead and expresses his burden here that he has. Then the next chapter speaks about him getting a vision. The next chapter starts out with him getting a vision. A burden, and then a vision. And then the third chapter starts out with his prayer. Now this is just the order of things. He got a burden. When he got a burden, God gave him a vision of something. Folks, do you have a vision tonight? Do you really have a vision? I wish I could impart to you the vision the Lord's given me in my soul of the need of these refreshings from the Lord. A need of being revived. A need of being renewed. And the vision that is for us. God made those provisions. I say I love to think about God's provisions for you and I. First a burden, then a vision, and then a prayer. The prayer of Habakkuk. Oh Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Oh Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years. We mentioned today, and we often do for this reason. The enemy is just pulling things over on us today. He'll say, well, you can't expect this and that because we're living in the last days.
Yeah.
No, we're living in perilous times. It's the age. I don't know if you folks hear that like I do, but I hear it on every hand. Well, it's just the age.
That's an excuse.
That's something the enemy is using to blind us with them. He said here, revive us in the midst of the years. I believe God can revive today just as good as he ever did.
Amen.
I believe God just as willing to revive today as he ever was. I believe God has just as much reviving today as he ever has. If you and I will put in for it and get the vision of it and know that God has it for our souls, as individuals and as a church, God has our reviving. Oh, but I do too.
Yeah.
Now, I like the thought of reviving. I have to be revived once in a while. I'm not talking about revived and brought out of sin. I'm talking about my soul refreshed. I'm talking about being revived of just means to reinvigorate and to refresh and to renew and make new again. And I say I'm glad and I'm surely thankful tonight that the Lord's made provisions. Now in the text here he said that they that dwell under the shadow, they that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. They shall revive. You and I need reviving all along the way. We need with the cares of life, the storms of life, duty press hard sometimes. Sometimes the Lord bears down heavy upon us. We become weary. We become fatigued. We feel a real exhaustion. And if we're not reviving, I don't want to come on with you. I don't want to come on with God. I didn't just reach down and revive and refresh our souls and reinvigorate us and make us new again. You know, the Word speaks an awful lot about renewing and reviving and refreshing and so on and so forth. God, and have you and I to experience often that real renewing of our inner man. He said in the first text I read that the inner man is renewed day by day. Are you keeping the new man just really renewed? Let's see if I can find that text in Ephesians here somewhere where it speaks about the new man and keeping him renewed. Is that in Ephesians? Or is it in... Yes, in Colossians it is, it says Ephesians. It said here, and have put on the new man. Have put on the new man. That's what we all do when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we put off the old man and put on the new. He said, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Yeah.
Put on the new man, and that new man is renewed. What does renew mean? To make new again. To make new again. Do you know if people would keep renewed in their inner man? If they keep refreshed? If they keep revived? The enemy wouldn't succeed in overcoming them. The enemy wouldn't succeed in overthrowing them. The enemy wouldn't succeed in discouraging them if they keep renewed. It's because we fail to keep renewed. It's because we fail to keep a refreshing from the presence of the Lord and keep our souls just really revived. That's the reason that the enemy succeeds in so many times in getting people discouraged, in getting them to give up, in getting them to succeed in overthrowing them. It's because they fail to experience the reviving from the Lord that he has. The thought of the prophet Isaiah says here in the 57th chapter, for thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Now he said, I dwell with him, what for? To revive. To revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Now folks, if you and I will keep humble and meek and contrite before the Lord, He said he would dwell with us to revive us. And to keep us revived. To revive here, he said, the spirit of the humble. Revive.